Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, before I begin my sermon proper, I want to remind you, and I hope that you will be excited and be here next Sunday. We will have guests from all over South Carolina and Georgia. We will have 77 outside participants coming to participate here in the Greenwood Salkehatchie camp and work on and renovate at least 8 different homes in a 1-week intensive period. So we'll have guests this next Sunday, and I hope that you'll be here to meet them, to greet them, and to encourage them. It is Father's Day. That's not on the liturgical calendar. The gospel reading that I just read is the one that I'm going to begin preaching from, but I'm going to deviate from that very quickly. I'll need you to keep up. Somebody told me not long ago that Father's Day was exactly like Mother's Day, but without the gifts. And I think that's kind of true. I want to start with an encounter between a little boy and his father. A little boy was sitting around and dad was just, engrossed in the newspaper. And the boy said, "Dad, who made God?" And the father said, "Beats me, son." And he kept on reading. And the little boy put him off and said, "Dad, why is the earth round?" And the dad, without even looking down, said, I don't know, son." And a few minutes later, "Dad, is there life on other planets?" And the father said, "Well, nobody really knows the answer to that, son." And finally, the boy asked to his father, "Dad, do you mind me asking you all these questions?" And at that, the father put the paper down and said, "Well, not at all, son. How else are you going to learn?" What did we learn from our fathers? Every little child wishes that their dad was all-knowing and big and powerful. So many stories about my dad can do this and my dad can do that, and comparing. You want your dad to be all-knowing, big, powerful. Now, in Mark chapter 4, what you just heard, in the nighttime, in the storm, in the boat filling with water, Jesus was the leader of the disciples, kind of the daddy of the disciples, and he was asleep. Now, this encounter, what happens in those few short little verses, it was a turning point for the disciples. Now, I'm going to paraphrase, but I think this is what the disciples might have said. "Well, Jesus was with us in a storm, and when he woke up, he told the wind and the waves to shut up and be quiet." That's kind of what it says in the Greek. I'll tell you what happened after that. We were more afraid of Jesus than we had been of the storm. We started to think, who is this man who can tell a storm to be quiet, to hush? What kind of man has that sort of power? We knew right then and there that Jesus was not an ordinary man. And we know the rest of the story. Who could ever think that? What man can take on sin and death and live? What other man can make God the Father known? Now, on a much, much, much lower level, crashing all the way down to earth, I'm going to talk about some of my fathering insights. I am finding out, and some of you older fathers, you should have told me this. You should have told me this. I am finding out that fathering does not stop when your children turn 18. It does not stop when your children graduate college. It has not stopped since I've been here. Now, all 3 of my children are married. I'm a grandfather. I wasn't when I came here. See the gray? This fathering business goes on and on and on. It is expensive work, but steady. And I'm starting to see a pattern. The times when we fail to be good parents, fathers or mothers, those are often the times when we have storms inside us. And so we don't really notice the needs of the others around us. It's important. First, let God in Christ calm the storm within you so that you'll be able to be present and helpful to your spouse, to your children, and to your neighbors around you. We will not do well in dealing with any stormy relationship if we cannot conquer the storms in our own hearts and souls. This morning was the first time now at 11 o'clock, the second time ever in my entire ministry have I used a Bruce Lee illustration. I ran across this. I like it. In the movie The Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, Lee's mentor tells him, you have to conquer the demons inside you, otherwise you will pass them on to your children. That sounds a little bit like Jesus, doesn't it? Deal with yourself first, and then you can help others. Even grown kids have questions. And I know that I don't have all the answers, and grown adult children face storms, and I can't make it stop. And yet somehow, as Christian fathers, we are called to emulate, in our own faltering way, the waiting father of the prodigal son parable from Luke. I know some of you are saying, is he going to do the prodigal son again? Yes. I do it about 10 times a year, I think. When Jesus told the parable about God's nature in Luke, he told the story that I like to refer to as the waiting father. Most people call it the prodigal son, but I know you know the one. The steady central focus amidst the chaos and the wild living and the wastefulness and the family disgrace of the son, the still point of that story is the father who peers down the road and he waits with his arms wide open for that wild child to return. And return he does. And he finds the waiting father ready to accept and embrace and reclaim the son who once was lost and now is found. And you know, nobody thinks, if you pay attention to that story, nobody thinks that story is fair. Especially not the older brother, the stick-in-the-mud older brother inside the story. Nobody thinks that story is fair. But Jesus said that that waiting father speaks to the kind of God God is. A waiting father who, no matter what, waits for us to return. Mistakes, regrets, filthy, empty-handed, still God the Father waits with arms open to embrace. I'll tell you a story. I was a mentor, a sort of a father figure substitute for a fatherless child in Bamberg for an entire year. And I tried, and I may never know if I did any good, but I tried to be present and interested in his life. We just did all sorts of things once a week. We lifted weights. We went to athletic games. We built a computer. And one of the things we liked to do together was ride bikes. I did that before I even moved here. And one time, his name was Wendell. One time, Wendell's bike was stolen. Now, Bamberg is a small town, so we spent our hour together that week looking around Bamberg for his bike. And soon we found a bike in front of a store that was just like his. And it looked like it might be his. And it was in front of a store that I nor any of my members had ever been in. Because it looked dangerous. Well, there was Wendell looking up at me as a surrogate father figure. And I said, oh boy. So we went in. And I went in there, and when I went into this store, everything stopped. All the people looked at me. And I started hearing in my head that song, Bad, Bad Leroy Brown, and wondering, now how does it end? What happens next? Well, Wendell was looking up at me, and I wanted to give him a good, strong example, so I asked it this way. I thought, as fast as I could think, maybe you unknowingly, mistakenly bought a bike from someone and you didn't know that it was stolen. Could you tell me who you bought it from? And he just looked at me, no blinking, said, I've had that bike a long time. And I said, well, Wendell here would like to get another one. His is missing. So could you tell me where did you buy it? No blinking. Don't remember. The story does not end with me as a hero. We left without the bike, but we left with our suspicions fully intact. And I hope Wendell at least learned that somebody was going to at least try to stand up for him. And as I thought about him, and I was putting this thing together and thinking how many kids don't have any sort of a father figure, He moved 3 or 4 times in 1 year period. I had to find him to mentor him because of lack of rent. You know, just move, move, move. The last time I saw him, he was living in the back of a liquor store. Very smart kid, but sometimes he just did not go to school because there was nobody to make him. Nobody to make him. I wonder where he is today. And I guess I'm sneaking up on a point. He should be in college age-wise. But if he grew to adopt the attitude, if he went this way, that the world doesn't work for me and no one has ever cared for me, I'm on my own, he may be in jail. I hope, though, he felt a small blessing and he might have grown to feel like there are people who care and had some hope. But he might also have grown to feel like there's nobody who cares and grown bitter. People, I think, and I guess this is my point, tend to gravitate toward one pole or the other. There are two extreme worldviews that people tend to lean toward. One is, I am blessed and surrounded by people who love me. Or, I am cursed and I am on my own. Now that second one, I met a young man in prison in Colombia when I did prison ministry years ago. And he adopted that lifestyle and tattooed across all 10 knuckles, I walk alone. The waiting father, the prodigal son story, is a shocking and radical thing. If you can hear it and take it seriously as a picture of the heart of God. The wasteful, reckless, wild son went out rejecting his father and family, and he said, I walk alone. I need no one. You just give me the money. And he found the world a stormy, bitter place when the money ran out. And then he came to himself, and he remembered what mattered. And he said, you know, at home, my father may not ever see me as a son again, but at least he cares for his servants, and he might care for me as one of them. I will return from this far country to the place where people know me and care for me. It is not good to be alone. Have you ever seen from Genesis on down the theme in Scripture? It is not good to be alone. How radical it is that the Father, when the Son found the Father and came to Himself, He found the Father waiting with arms open. He wasn't alone. God the Father was His home. He was reclaimed, redeemed, and celebrated. He went looking sort of like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz for something wonderful in the far country and found that belonging and embraced at home was what he had really needed all along. There are sparkly things aplenty. And there will come a time, if it has not come already with you, each of us, that you realize the sparkly things cannot make you happy if no one cares for you. And if you walk alone, it doesn't matter. Nothing can make you happy. We weren't made to be alone. There are storms of plenty, and sometimes we cry out like the disciples, God, don't you care that we're dying here? Wake up and do something. I guess it boils down to, who do you trust in the storms? Money and sparkly things, or God the Father who waits with open arms? I suppose in this confusing, disjointed, back and forth message, the point may be the best we can do for our children, fathers, and we don't stop being fathers. The best we can do for our children of whatever age is to be there. Waiting with arms open. Don't let your child of whatever age come to believe that they walk alone. Be there, present, and accounted for. Come hell or high water, come divorce or financial trouble, still be available with arms open. Share what you know, and this is important. Don't fake what you don't know. Share your faith and your struggles and encourage trust in God. Discourage chasing empty dreams and sparkly things. Biologically, we all have a mom and a dad, and I think we need both. That's another sermon, but moms tend to be, there are exceptions, more grace, and dads tend to be more law. We need both. We all need to know in smaller, imperfect echoes that there is a place where we are not alone. There is a place where arms are open, and no matter where we've been, we are celebrated when we come home. Now, if that's not your family, and it may not be, then it ought to be the church. And I mean this church. If it isn't a family or a church family, the studies say it will be a gang or a cult or some other place out in a far country. Because we are all made to belong and be accepted somewhere. And we'll find it. Dads, do what you can to communicate God's grace. Be present and available in your children's life. You may not know all the answers and not be able to do miracles, but you can be present and available. Bless your sons and daughters with presence and support. I say presence, that's not the kind you wrap up, but being present. Support and appropriate boundaries and grace that echoes the waiting Father. Bless your children and each other's children in this congregation, such as through the Prayer Warrior Ministry, our Vacation Bible School, our Sunday School. Lift them up. Let them know that they do not walk alone. God is with them. God's people are with them. Let them know that God has been with you, even when you have made mistakes, and that you are with them too. The church is a place of grace, loving boundaries, but always arms open when you wander off and come back to where you belong. God's arms and God's family. Show that you trust God's grace with your life and that you have overcome your own storms with faith and pass it on. Be present. Be available. And when they wander off, wait with arms open. Amen.